find what makes you happy and do that. Let go of partners that aren't working sooner. Let go of jobs that aren't working sooner. Life's short. Find your joy.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. Jessica here. We are in our first official week of the Unblocking Challenge. The Safety Eye has launched in the daily practice, so you guys have access to that. I've received so many DMs and messages from you guys saying that it's life-changing. It's an amazing thing that makes you feel lighter and stronger at the same time. It's seriously mind-blowing. The new binaural beats are fantastic. Feeling so grateful. The new Safety Eye is incredible. Love it and need it so much. It was so wonderful how easy it was to go to my safe place throughout my day. Just wanted to let you know that the Safety Eye is so effing good. Thank you so much for all your hard work and making sure we get the best out of the new DI. So excited for this challenge. The feedback from you guys has been so incredible, and I'm just so thankful that it's really resonating and helping you guys find that grounding and ability to connect to your authenticity and that place of safety and calm. That's what this DI is all about. That's why it is the first week of the challenge, because we need to find our safety and our grounding before moving forward. And last week, we had our kickoff call with EMDR therapist Janelle Nelson, who you've heard on the podcast, and Lacey, where Janelle really breaks down what bilateral stimulation is, how to do the tapping. Any and all questions you guys have about the tapping, it is answered in that live call. But one funny thing was Lacey mentioned how this challenge is sort of like the Lazy Summer Challenge, because all you have to do is do a quick journal prompt, pop in your deep imagining, work through that space, and then go about the rest of your day so you can really enjoy your summer while having a massive unblocking and manifesting process going on in the subconscious. And then next week, we are launching the Unblocked DI, where we're really going to take through that core wound and try to heal it through inner child and any way we're needing support to get on the other side of that core wound and implant a new positive belief that we can refer to. If you haven't signed up for the Unblocking Challenge yet, it is not too late. You can join at any time. It's going to be available in the pathway until September. And if you are not a part of the pathway, now is the time to sign up. This is our biggest summer sale to lock in the lowest rate you're going to for this season. So for any new or returning members, now's the time to sign up for the pathway. Even if you feel like you're not ready to jump into the challenge quite yet, you have from now until September to go at your own pace, join the challenge, work through the core wounds. It's so cool. I actually got one of my best friends to start doing this work through the challenge. She got herself the journal. She got the pathway membership, and she started with how to manifest in the pre-week, just writing her list. And she was like, wow, even just writing down my intentions, I realized how small I've been playing by not even calling in these things or thinking about these things. And now she's in week one of the Unblocking Challenge and moving through that. And within 2 weeks of working on this, she's already getting job offer opportunities that are in alignment with what she wrote down on her manifestation list. So this stuff can happen quickly, guys. You can find the link to sign up for the pathway in the show notes or on our website at tobemagnetic.com, and we'll see you in there. I'm so excited that we are having another process episode. It's kind of my favorite time of the month because I feel like they're just so expansive and there's so much that's covered in these process episodes, and this one definitely does not disappoint. So today we have Leslie, and Leslie's story is so powerful and unique because she dives into how she was able to reprogram and do inner child work around having parents who were on the narcissism spectrum, and how she even realized that that is the dynamic that she had with her parents. She knew some things didn't feel right or felt unsafe, and she knew she had things on block from childhood, but actually understanding that they were on that spectrum didn't come until she realized she was dating someone else who was on the narcissism spectrum. So it's really fascinating to hear her perspectives. Then she goes in to describe how she manifested her dream partner. So she moved from attracting in dynamics that felt familiar, similar to childhood, and basically up-leveled out of that into manifesting her dream, conscious, beautiful relationship. Then she dives into how she moved from her corporate job to actually making money as a professional artist. So she had a corporate job she was super unfulfilled with, didn't feel aligned. She was not only able to get a corporate package to leave, so she had an FU fund to start working on her paintings, developing her craft, understanding who she was as an artist. But as that FU fund started to dwindle lower and lower and lower, how she navigated that jump into actually monetizing from her art, so she was able to continue to do that full time, and how she was able to read some of the pings in the interim of that. There's so much in this episode, whether you're navigating money or love. Hello, they are intertwined. I am just realizing that so much, especially in her story. I know you guys are going to get so much out of it. So enjoy.
And now a word from our partners.
Guys, we have a very, very exciting announcement to make about one of our incredible sponsors here at To Be Magnetic on the Expanded Podcast. So Blue Blocks has now outgrown the name Blue Blocks and is launching their rebrand of Bon Charge. Blue Blocks actually started as just a pair of blue light blocking amber glasses, and they have since gone on to create so many other wellness and biohacking products that really support your system to get back into its natural rhythm. And because of that, Blue Blocks is just not a fitting name for them anymore. And so they've really expanded, outgrown, and are rebranding into Bon Charge. So anywhere you've heard us talk about Blue Blocks, we are talking from now on about Bon Charge. And I love a good symbolism when it comes to rebrands and names. So the reason they chose Bon Charge is because Bon equals good and charge equals energy. So the ethos for the entire company is about natural good energy that you can create within your body and bring to life your optimal state of living. I really love the new direction that Bon Charge is going in because they're continuing to expand and create products that are super science-backed and inspired by what our natural rhythms and cycles are in life, but modern life kind of interferes. And they're expanding their range of premium wellness products to help you sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance your hormones, reduce inflammation. The list goes on and on. One of my very favorite products from Bon Charge is their blackout sleep mask. Because I live in a big city of Los Angeles, there is tons of light pollution getting in through our blinds at night. Even the full moon the other night this week, was seeping through my blackout shades. Somehow it was making its way through the cracks in the side. And when we have blue light coming through from whether it's street lamps or our appliances or even the full moon brightening through your window, it can disrupt our sleep patterns and prevent us from dropping into that deep REM sleep that is so, so helpful and effective for recharging and replenishing our body and our brains. So I love their blackout sleep mask. I've been using it for years. I'm obsessed. It is so silky soft and smooth. I use the blackout contoured sleep mask, which is super lightweight, very breathable. It's adjustable and it has the eye cups. So it's not smushed against your face. It's not causing wrinkles. It's very, very smooth and gentle onto your face and blocks 100% of blue light. Whereas a lot of face masks, they're still letting light in. They're still letting things kind of creep in. This blocks 100% of blue light. And they're also fantastic when you're doing deep imaginings. So if you really want to drop into a more relaxed state, you can block out any outside light by slipping on one of these eye masks. And it's at a super affordable rate as well. They also have their cotton blackout sleep mask, which is what my fiance uses, and their classic blackout sleep mask as well, which is Velcro based in the back instead of the strap. It's been so helpful for our sleep. I don't think I could ever fall asleep deeply enough without it. And I recommend it and I'm constantly gifting it to friends and family because it's a game changer when it comes to sleeping throughout the night. Be sure to check out any of Bontrage's other incredible wellness products such as EMF blocking, their blue light blocking glasses, their blue light blocking sunglasses, and some really fun products that we'll be launching in the next few months. And we have a special code for podcast listeners. Use the code MAGNETIC to save 15% off. So check out bondcharge.com. That's BONCHARGE.com. And use the coupon code MAGNETIC, all caps, MAGNETIC, for 15% off your order. I know you guys have heard us talk about Beekeepers Naturals, and I'm still so enthralled with the company and the products they have and the ethos and just quality of the ingredients when it comes to all things bees. You can hear our incredible episode with Carly Stein, the founder, and how it really came to be getting the most organic propolis, honey, bee pollen, royal jelly on the market and giving the bees the best quality of life possible on all organic farms. But one thing that I've been using in my routine lately is the propolis throat spray. So a lot of times, especially during the seasons when different flowers are in bloom in Los Angeles and it can get a little dustier out, I always get a really scratchy throat. And because I'm recording podcasts all the time, I need to be able to speak as eloquently as possible. So I find myself turning to the Bee Immune Propolis Throat Spray. It's also something that I highly recommend to friends, especially if we're going to be in social settings coming up this summer, whether that's music festivals or outdoor barbecues. If I'm going to be around a lot of people and talking a lot, I make sure to have this on hand to just help boost my immune, soothe my throat, and fight any bacteria or germs that might be getting in the back of my throat. So I use 4 sprays in the back of my throat. I kind of angle it 2 on one side, 2 on the other. And it's super high grade bee propolis, always free of any artificial colors, preservatives, fillers, alcohol, GMOs, refined sugars, and 100% natural. They've also launched a new product, their Beekeepers Naturals Propolis Nasal Spray. So if you're someone who has a stuffy nose, you're in allergy season, and you're looking for a natural alternative to some of the more harsh products out there, I highly, highly recommend this. And what I absolutely love about the Beekeepers Naturals products is that they utilize all parts of the hive, and the propolis, which is in the throat spray and the nasal spray, is sort of like the bee's antibacterial. They use it in the hive to keep the hive clean and free of viruses and germs. And it also contains so many vitamins and minerals. So propolis contains important vitamins such as B1, B12, B6, C, and E, and minerals such as magnesium, calcium, potassium, sodium, copper, zinc, manganese, and iron. You can read more about the incredible benefits of propolis but it is game changer, especially when you're coming up against viruses. The first place we tend to get sick a lot of times is by inhaling something into our sinus passages or to the back of our throat. And so if we're able to keep some vitamins and support back there to soothe those passages with a nasal spray or throat spray, you're going to be in good condition and have a fantastic and healthy summer. And we're offering you an incredible discount code for any of the Beekeepers Naturals products if you go to beekeepersnaturals.com/TBM or enter the code TBM. You can get 25% off your total order or enter code TBM at checkout for 25% off your products.
All right, on to the episode.
Today we have Leslie. Welcome, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Very excited.
So I'm sure you're familiar with our intro questions. So what is your sun, moon, and rising sign?
Yeah, I love this question. So my sun is Scorpio, my moon is Scorpio, and my rising is Leo.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's so intense. I was putting in my wrong birth time for a long time. So I was getting Sagittarius rising. And then I found my birth certificate and I put in the right. And I was like, double Scorpio Leo. I was like, this can't be right. I have to keep checking. I can't be this crazy. So, but I've embraced it. It's amazing and powerful. And now I'm proud to be. I have 5 planets in Scorpio.
Wow.
So it's a lot of Scorpio energy. Someone told me that if you have that many planets and one sign, that you were that sign maybe in a previous life or something, which I find interesting.
I've heard that too. Yeah. Like if you have so much in one sign that it's almost like you, if you were that in a previous life, then it's almost like you have mastered that, or it's like comes in such second nature. Cause I have a lot in Capricorn, and Capricorn is just like, I got the Capricorn energy fully.
Yes, exactly. That's a good way to describe it. I do feel like something very familiar about the Scorpion energy. And it's kind of nice too, because my Scorpio is like private and I describe it as visceral. Like it's just such a visceral experience to life. Like you really feel your emotions through your body. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of like rebirth cycles. And then my Leo is more like fun, crazy hair, extrovert. So I come off as an extrovert. Life of the party kind of, but I have deep waters that I need to retreat and like recoup my energy basically with the Scorpion energy.
It's kind of like a beautiful balance between the two.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Now that I know that what it is.
So cool. And what is your cultural background and upbringing and how has that informed who you are today?
My dad is Black and my mom is white, so I'm biracial. My mom is her family is all French. My dad has a lot of different mixtures. Like I think he had a great grandfather that was from Ireland and married a woman from Madagascar, and then they came to America. And so, you know, I have some Irish and African, and I grew up in a small town 2.5 hours south of Chicago called Champaign, Illinois, and it's a university town, so it's super diverse and culturally rich for being in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. One of my friends went to college in Champaign. That's so funny.
Yeah. It's so funny how like so many people have heard of it, because I always grew up thinking it was like such a small town and nobody knows where this place is, you know, and I grew more appreciation for it when I became older, because I grew up around so many other biracial kids and interracial marriages and like people from all over because of the university. And so I didn't really notice like how segregated everywhere was until I was an adult and moved to different places. And I was like, whoa, this is actually the normal reality, is that places are more segregated based on socioeconomic status and how that's tied in with race. But in my town, I was so happy to be able to grow up around other biracial kids. It was like super normal. So I didn't, thank goodness, didn't have that issue too much.
I think about too, like people who maybe didn't have that opportunity or weren't able to be around people that were reflective of them in their growing up situation. As someone who has that fully integrated, can you like vision hold or like have one, I don't know what sentiment you would give them. Can you expand them in any way?
Yeah. You know, this is where inner child work comes in. It's really important to, you know, maybe play around with your own version of, you know, how you have magnetic parents, maybe have some magnetic friends that are also biracial, or other kids or other biracial people that you know in your life. Imagine being a kid with them and kind of integrating that way. And, you know, it's hard because I am a Black woman, and society tells us so many stories about not being worthy or valuable enough. So we really have to overcome that and root down in our worthiness and not listen to those stories, because really it's a reflection of the other person, and just getting in touch with our own power. And I'm so appreciative because Lacey's work has, and the TBM work has, allowed me to do that more efficiently, I would say. So yeah, like, just, I think going back down there, if there's a little interaction specifically that you had with other kids that were related to maybe your race or being biracial, or just like reprogramming those and maybe coming in as your adult self, being able to stand up for that little person in those interactions, I think is important as well.
I love that. That's such a great tip. I didn't even think about that. Like, have creating like your magnetic friend group, you know, yeah, to have that reflected of who you were and feeling authentic, even if you didn't have that access to that.
Yeah, like those feelings of being included and chosen and honored and respected, really cultivating those when you're down in your subconscious work.
Absolutely. So what brought you to the TBM work?
Oh, it's so funny. It was like a long time ago, actually, when Lacey first came out with her blog. My friend at work, who always been an expander of mine because her energy is so grounded and she like never complains about anything. And she was looking at Lacey's blog one day at work. And she was like, I love this girl's aesthetic. And she was really on there for the design. But then I started digging around. I was like, yeah, she does have good style. And noticed she was talking about all this manifestation stuff. And I was like, you know, I'm curious about that. And that was in maybe like 2016 or 2017 or something. And then I didn't really start doing the work and digging in until around 2018, when I hit a rock bottom. And then that's really what I like realized I needed to dig in. And she had come up with the programs at that point. And I think 2018 is when it became more affordable. You could pay the monthly membership, because before it was a la carte. And so then I was like, okay, I'm getting a membership. I'm going to do the work. And that's my journey with TBM so far.
It's so funny because the rock bottom is such an entry point, like for anyone who's going through rock bottoms or trying to figure out how to navigate it. It's such a powerful time of transformation, because you really have to let go of whatever is being shaken out from beneath you, whatever rug is getting pulled out from beneath you. It's basically the universe forcing you out of that situation and saying, no, we got to look somewhere else. And then it's like the phoenix from the ashes. Like, you get to recreate yourself, redefine yourself, find the places that you've maybe been hiding parts of yourself that were dormant. And it is a really beautiful, powerful time, even though it can feel so painful. What rock bottom, like what happened with your rock bottom?
So I've had a lot of rock bottoms in my life, but I will do this one specifically because it's what started my TBM work. I was dating someone who has narcissism at the time, and I went on a vacation with my best friend of 25 years, and they kind of got into a spat right before, because my friend, who I also had some codependency with, called him out basically, but in a non-helpful way. So there was the conflict leaving for my vacation. When I came back from my vacation, the day of, he broke up with me. And that same day I arrived home and an Airbnb guest had completely trashed my apartment.
Ugh.
And it was like, I got broken up with and my apartment was destroyed all in the same day. It was really painful because both my parents are on, I would say, the narcissistic spectrum. So I was dating one narcissist after another, basically, and was emotionally unavailable myself too. But it's just the type of relationship that felt familiar to me based off of childhood. And he was far on the spectrum. So it was very toxic, and it was painful, very painful at the end, because it brought up all my childhood wounds. So I was just like, you know, on the floor crying and like upset. And the whole summer was really rocky for me. I like chose to go out of my apartment that I had for a really long time, the one apartment that has brought stability to me here in LA. And so I didn't feel like I was home, and I was just feeling all these painful feelings. And basically it was so painful that I basically didn't have a choice but to seek healing at that point, because numbing wouldn't work. I was going to feel it no matter what. So I found a program about healing from narcissistic relationships that really helped.
What was that program? Just so we could link it for anyone who might be going through that.
Yes, it's Melanie Tanya Evans. She's out of Australia, and she has I think it's called a NARP program, if I recall correctly, but it's all about healing from narcissistic relationships. Doing that work, I got to actually some womb healing that was really interesting. Because I do a lot of my healing when I'm in the bathtub or some sort of water, maybe because I'm a water sign.
Yeah, I was going to call this Scorpio.
Yeah, it's like, sense. Yeah, it's very healing. During that healing program, I had this like very like deep insecure feeling. And I was like, where is this feeling coming from? And she leads you on a journey basically as well for ancestral healing. But I realized in the womb, like it was coming from when I was in the womb. Like I was like, what is happening? So I asked my mom, I was like, did anything significant happen while you were pregnant with me? And she's like, well, not really. Well, actually, your grandmother died 6 weeks before you're born. And I was like, I had known that, but I kind of forgot. And I was like, oh, and she was like, it was a very tumultuous time. And your dad had to go out of town for a long time. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes so much sense.
There was so much stress in the body. Yeah.
Yeah, there was stress and grief in the body that I took on.
Wow.
Yeah. So her work's powerful. And then I dug into TBM a lot too. A lot of DIs. I started with How to Manifest. Then I did Partnership and Unblocked Money. And then I dug into the harder workshops like Inner Child and Shadow.
I was going to say, for the inner child, you'd go right into that womb healing on like the first or second day of that inner child workshop.
Yeah, but exactly.
Crazy you had that awareness before even going in.
Yeah, it was hopeful.
Did you know when you were leaving the relationship with the ex-partner who was a narcissist that your parents were narcissists at the time? Did you put two and two together that you were perhaps finding comfort in people that had similar character traits to your parents because that was like the norm?
Oh my gosh, great question. Actually, no, I didn't know. What led me was an ex-girlfriend of his. We had by some chance spoke, and she mentioned that she didn't even mention him directly, but she mentioned something about narcissism on her Instagram. And I was like, whoa. And so I reached out to her because I was like, maybe that's what I'm dealing with. And she kind of confirmed that that's what the case was with that particular person. And then I started doing all this research and I was like, oh my God. When you kind of start learning about it, you're like, I am surrounded by narcissism, you know? But then I started looking at a couple of doctors that were on YouTube, psychologists, and they were talking about the parent relationship. I mean, it was right on. And I've tried to bring more of a human element to this and say the human has narcissism versus saying a narcissist. So I'm trying to practice that. But my mom's more of a covert narcissism. And then my dad is more like an altruistic, grandiose. It's really eye-opening, and I think a lot of people are in narcissistic relationships without realizing that's what it is. They can't put their finger on it. They know something's off. There might be these cycles of love bombing and then kind of withdrawal, and people can get stuck in these cycles for years and years. And I'm not an expert on it. I'm just sharing my point of view of what I've learned. But now that I know more about it, it seems like it's hard to recognize what you're in, especially if you're used to that based off of parenting or other, maybe a sibling or something like that. But it's important to recognize it because it can save you a lot of pain. And it's complicated because my parents are such good people. They had traumatic childhoods, and they've been married for 43 years, and they've really tried their best to do everything. But when you have narcissism, depending on where you're on the spectrum, you can only show up for someone to a certain capacity. So I feel like a lot of my emotional needs were just not met because the household kind of centered around the narcissist versus, you know, the kids being the center of the family dynamic. And there was a lot of old school parenting that is, I would consider abusive at this point, like hitting your children. And I would have 2 hour long timeouts. And now that I look back, kind of, I had blocked it out a little bit, but digging into Lacey's work, that's why I think it's good that you guys recommend a therapist, because sometimes when you dig in, you bring up stuff that you maybe had blocked out and don't remember anymore. And it can be quite painful. And there was also like some anger that came up with my parents. Right now I live 2,000 miles from them, so it's easier for me to have boundaries with them. And I think it's important to have boundaries with someone that are dealing with narcissism. But there was a lot of anger, and every time I unfold another layer, you know, I have to come back to that space of forgiveness. It's not just like I forgive them one time and it's over, but it's more like every layer I work on forgiving again. And you grieve for your inner child. You really grieve for those experiences that they may have experienced, that they didn't get what they needed. So it's painful, and you need support when you're dealing with that. But it's so important to look at it and not numb and face it.
I love too how, because a lot of times, especially like on social media, it's like narcissist or not narcissist. People don't talk about the spectrum of it. And so I think for a lot of people, it can be really confusing when they look at a parent, especially, and they're like, wait, but they did all these things good. They clearly loved me here. They did that for me. Like, that's not a narcissist, but there is a spectrum. Everyone who is on that spectrum, obviously it's a coping mechanism for their own child self that faced a really horrible situation, and this is how their brain contextualized it. But they all have a different threshold or capacity. One parent might be able to give so much and everything actually feels safe, secure, amazing. But once that parent's threshold is crossed or their wound is touched, it's almost like the wall goes up and they go into that different operating system. So it can be really confusing for kids who are like, but wait, they're kind of both. Like, how can they be both? I don't understand.
Yes. Oh my gosh. The way you said that just makes so much sense. It's so true. It's complex. And you start learning about these complexities when you're little, because you're like, I'm getting this love, you know, from them, but then all of a sudden I'll do something wrong and it's messages of shame and you're bad and you're the reason I'm feeling this way. And you're taking on responsibility for the parent's emotional life, that they are stunted and don't have the capacity to regulate. It's confusing because it's like, yeah, I had a roof over my head and I can tell that they love me. They try their best, but there's these other areas, or you trigger them in a certain way. And it's very scary as a child. So the way you said it was really well said.
What were some of the ways that you reparented that version of yourself? You know, did you bring forward magnetic parents a lot? Did you bring your adult self to your kid self and like hang out and do loving things together? How did you navigate that process?
Both of those things. Yeah, I rotate magnetic parents when I'm down there. It's been hard for me to picture my parents as whole and loving. I've done it a couple times, but it's really just other people that I've seen modeling parenting the way I would want to be parenting, or I felt love from them the way that I wanted to feel love. And I put them in as my parent. And yeah, they're doing all the things that would cultivate my creative life and just allow me to express my emotions without there being punishment, supporting me, showing up for me emotionally. So those scary memories that I have of getting in trouble, or I will bring my adult self in and I will stand up for her and I will step in the way and I'll be like, no, you're not going to do that. That's not right. And then I'll comfort my inner child a lot of times, go in and rock her, cradle her, soothe the crying. But also, I swear, every time I go in for inner child, there's like a new memory that pops up. So this work is, you know, ongoing, and I've come such a long way, but there is still more to do. And I'm just grateful that I have like a framework now to navigate it. I was in therapy for a really long time and nothing really worked except for internal family systems. One therapist did that with me, and that worked so well. I know, I love that. But then the TBM work is honestly, it's worked so much better than like years of therapy. So I'm grateful. And I also had a traumatic experience when I was 21 of my partner dying suddenly. And so I also had some complicated grief that was blocking me in partnership and some complicated grief left over from that that I really needed to face and deal with as well. So yeah, it's been a really intense couple of years.
Yeah. And that's why I love that the focus of the TBM Mark II is manifestation, because I think so many times we think of healing as like this heavy, dense, there's so many layers, it's so painful, we're moving through so many emotions. But that's why I like kind of anchoring down back to manifestation, because it's like, okay, move through these and feel joy, connect to your authentic self, bring in the things in your life that you want and deserve. So it's not just, you know, whereas like a therapy model is very helpful and clearing all of that does feel so good. But then it's like, okay, now also think about the things that you really want in life so you can balance healing and joy at the same time.
Absolutely. Yes. Because there is so much joy and you're like proud of yourself when you come so far. And the reframing is so important. Because I had a punishment style parenting growing up, I thought the universe was punishing me. I thought I'm bad. I'm getting punished for when things go wrong, like a rock bottom. And the reframing in the TBM work is that, no, the universe is just trying to bring you back to your authentic self. It's trying to shake you, your world up so you get back into alignment. And that reframing alone was like, whoa. So then I could look at the core wound of I'm bad. So the reframing is super important too, but there is a lot of joy in this work. And you really just gain a lot of confidence the more you manifest too.
Okay, so reading off some of the things that you have manifested. A partner, an aligned partner that's not a narcissist, I may add in there. A move to Topanga, paid package to leave your job, which covered your fuck you fund. Leaving your corporate job, which is huge. So many people are into that. Art studio in Topanga, your first solo art show, and 5 paintings sold, including 2 celebrity buyers that gave you enough money to go through. So let's start digging into the nuances of all of this, because this is a crazy list.
I know, it is. It's really, yeah, it's a lot.
So how did you start navigating this stuff? I guess let's start at the leaving the corporate job and the package. How did you navigate through that?
Yeah, so I was at this job for about 5 years. When I left art school in 2013, I was really in love with yoga and I went to Thailand and studied to be a yoga teacher and moved to LA and got a job at a online wellness yoga company. And it was so great for so long, but then we had to start working in the office and there was change in leadership. And so it started becoming, for me, toxic. And I just wasn't being respected. And now I know that it was reflecting back my low self-worth, you know? And so I was like, I have to leave. But, you know, during that rock bottom, I had also a financial rock bottom where I got into more credit card debt because of the move and stuff than I ever had been. I've always been pretty good with money. And I was like, I need you a fuck you fund. And how am I going to do this? And it was like 8 months of really kind of sticking with it and doing the TBM work, but literally having no idea how I was going to leave the job and be okay financially. I just kept trying to pay off as much debt as I could. I moved into a smaller apartment closer to work so that I had less rent. And then my boss and I had one-on-ones every day and I was wanting to get promoted and I was wanting to work more with design and be more creative. And I was still at an entry-level position after 5 years. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I'm a good worker. I should be able to be promoted. And I'm doing extra work beyond my job role too, which was the other thing. And so she was like, I can tell you really want to do design and I can't promise you to do that within the next six months. So this is totally up to you, but do you want me to put a package together for you so you can find a design job? And I was like, this is my out. I'm going to take this. So she's like, okay, I got 2 months that we can pay. And I was like, well, I need 3 months. And I was really scared, but I negotiated 3 months. And I was like, okay, this is it. And it feels good because we're all leaving on good terms. And she's like, you know, you can file for unemployment if you want to, but if you don't want to, that's okay. And I was like, no, I got this. I'm not going to. And then I was like, I'm going to take a couple of weeks off just to decompress. And then 2 weeks in, the first lockdown happened of the pandemic. Mm. And I was like, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? I'm without a job. And at first, we didn't think that the pandemic was going to last that long. So I wasn't as scared, but I was a little not at ease and a lot of lack was coming up. And finally, I just reached out to my boss. I was like, hey, I didn't know a pandemic was going to happen. So you think I can file for unemployment? She's like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. So they were really cool about that. So I spent the 3 months, I didn't really file for unemployment until I was done with my 3 months. And I spent that time just like exploring what I wanted to do, relaxing. We work so much. I just don't think you realize like how intense that is on your nervous system until you stop. Wow, I really need to like have time to recover and just have time to figure out what I want to do next, you know? So that was kind of how that happened.
And so for the corporate job to the artist piece, you said that like you had that, you know, artists are broke, you can't make money from it, that sort of societal programming too. So how did you, I mean, you went to art school, so clearly you were like, this is my passion. I want to do this. I want to be creative. How did you start to expand, pass test, unblock through that mentality when you were thinking of launching your own artwork?
So my actually own mother would tell me that, you know, your dad didn't want to be an artist because he didn't want to starve to death. Like she literally would say that exact.
Man.
I know. And I'm like, okay. So I had a lot because I'm a manifesting generator too. So I have to experiment and try a lot of different things. And like, I was a nurse in my early 20s. Art has always been a part of that. And then I realized I wanted to go back to art school. So I did that. And then yoga, of course. And then I always come back to my art. And I think shifting out of lack mentality is the number one thing that I am still working on, but that helped me shift out of that. And I was reading books, you know, I was reading books about other artists that have been successful and their path, consuming as much as I could about successful artists so I could change the story in my mind, and finding expanders and just digging in with actionable, like being committed to my work. Like I started acting like art was my job and I just started making as much art as I could all day long. And I started acting like, what would I want my day to look like now that I don't have a job? What do I want my day to look like? And I started doing that. And I was confronted a lot in the beginning because I was submitting my work to a call for art and I was getting a lot of no's and that was bringing up a lot of shadow. And so I just went back to the work. I did the DIs. But also the universe was showing me along the way that this was the right path. I kept getting little confirmations. I got the ping to reach out. I was like, I really need an art space because our apartment is pretty small in Topanga and I need my own space to do the artwork. So I was like, well, I'm going to reach out to next door to my neighborhood and like see if anybody has any extra space. And so I followed that ping and right away I got an art studio that was affordable. So I got little confirmations along the way that was like, you're on your right path. I'm supporting you. Not to say that I didn't get triggered all the time, because I did with like either an unexpected bill or mostly emotional triggers show up for me now. And then I take it that trigger through the DI and that shows a block of a limiting belief that I am holding. So the work has actually just helped me a lot.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest, to begin. We have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child, and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least 3 times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones.
And right now we have our biggest membership sale for the summer going on, where you can access some of the cheapest offerings for the pathway for the entire year. This is for new or returning members only. It is not valid for any active plans. If you are up for a renewal soon, an email will be on the way. But for any of the new or returning members, you can spin the spinner and receive a code. That code gives you a special discount that you can use for the 12-month membership commitment. Again, this is a limited time offer for our summer sale that will only be available until July 15th. We are kicking off the unblocking challenge Monday, June 6th, where you're going to take your biggest block preventing you from your manifestation and work through it to connect with your manifestations on the other side of the 6-week challenge. So make sure to sign up soon so you can participate in the challenge with us. You can click the link in the show notes or on the To Be Magnetic website to spin the spinner and enter into the pathway for the lowest rate of the summer.
Okay, now back to the episode.
I'm so curious what you were painting and creating in the beginning when you first started versus the work that wound up selling. Like, did you see a difference in, like, obviously your skill set can get a little bit better over time, but it's not going to drastically change. But did you feel like the quality of work shifted at all? I'm always curious in that part too.
Yeah, great question. Yes, I did. And part of my healing, I was taking the opportunity to heal too after my corporate job, was just being in my childlike state and allowing and being childlike. I was never allowed to walk barefoot outside when I was little. And like that can cause you to have like a blocked root chakra. And that's a whole nother thing. But I would just like be outside barefoot, playful and childlike kind of. And so my art was like that. I was kind of just like doing this abstract, whatever I felt like coming through and not so controlled. Cause I think in art school, I was very controlled. And I think there is an element of control in my work now, but in the beginning I was just letting whatever come out. And then, you know, during that time, Black Lives Matter was happening. And I've always been very passionate about activism and politics and stuff. What wanted to come out was just wanted to paint portraits. And so I started working on my portraits and I was so surprised that I was actually good at it. I had no idea. I just tried drawing first and I was drawing portraits and I kept doing that. And then I was like, this is pretty good. I'm going to try to paint a portrait. So then I did and it turned out really well. And so I was like, okay, I have something here. I just need to keep going with that. And so it's just about exploration, really. Allowing yourself to explore and being in your child self.
Yeah, like the creative self, the creative brain. It's like we already have the tools within us to create the thing. It's that we try to control it or block it or make it look like this or be emblematic of what's cool in culture right now or popular or whatever. And it's like when we just drop all of that, that channel can open. Do you feel like you're channeling when you're like really in the flow?
Oh yeah. When I'm really in the flow, I get this feeling that I was like born to do this. It's such a cheesy thing to say, but it was just like, this is what I'm supposed to be. It just feels so in alignment. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just like, this is what I want to be doing right now. But there is a lot of resistance that comes with that. And I read the book, The War of Art.
Yes. Oh, so good. So good.
It's one of my favorite books. And he has a whole series. Me and my boyfriend have read all the series. And it just helps you to conceptualize and to realize what resistance can look like. And when you're doing something meaningful, you will have resistance to it. And also just making my artwork and my creative process a ceremony and honoring that ceremony.
Do you have any tips for, because that is such a common thing, that the resistance, the productive procrastination pops up when people are trying to create things. What are some tips of how you navigated that for yourself?
Yeah, so my studio is actually up 162 stairs on this mountain. So wow. There's like actual physical resistance that I have to go through to get there. And it's like the hero's journey every time. And I do have a lot of resistance. I'm like, I do not want to climb a mountain today to go do this. So there's that. But someone said to me the other day that was like, oh, but it's actually part of your ceremony, of your creative process. And I was like, yes, okay, that's good. But so resistance comes up and not everyone has this, but right now I'm blessed to have a partner who's also an artist, and he helps recognize resistance in me when I see it. And we do that to each other. So we hold each other accountable, but you could do that with a friend or anybody, having an accountability partner, and also just recognizing that it is resistance. He calls these jobs that you do that aren't your calling the shadow job.
Ooh.
And so people will resist for years doing their shadow job rather than doing what they really truly are called to do. And I did that. Now I can recognize what resistance is. Oh, resistance coming up because I'm like hopping on Instagram or some other numbing behavior, you know, and it's a hard balance too, because you want yourself to have some freedom. Creativity is about like doing nothing sometimes and just like giving yourself that freedom, but also it has to be balanced with action. And so I don't like routines, but I've had to get in a routine of having my morning and yoga. And then it's like, okay, I've done everything I wanted to do in the morning. I got that all out of the way. So now it's time to work, and just committing to myself that I'm going to do this many hours per week of artwork. And it's hard. It's not easy, but it does get easier. It has gotten easier over the past year and a half.
Speaking of routine and ritual, how were you fitting in the TBM work? Because you also sometimes were doing some DIs in the middle of the night when you were wide awake. So how did that work out?
Yeah. So I usually do DIs like 3 to 4 times a week. And I really just try to let it flow. Like if I have an opportunity, then I'll do it. Sometimes I'll actively choose instead of numbing behavior. I'll like, I have time for a DI right now. I'm going to do it, or some journaling. So a lot of times I will wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning, either to go to the bathroom or I'm having anxiety or just whatever. I wake up, I'll pop on a DI and do it early in the morning. And then I usually fall back asleep, but at least I got a DI in, because I also practice transcendental meditation. So I'm already meditating 2 times a day, 20 minutes at a time. So it's kind of hard to fit in another DI. So that early morning one really allows me to get the DI in if I don't have time later in the day.
I love that. So for anyone who's not familiar, transcendental meditation is really the kind of the goal of it is repeating your mantra that you have in your head and letting everything go. So it's just a blank canvas, essentially, getting back to that center, that vibration, just like letting it all go. And so do you feel like that sort of clearing of the mind helped drop into DIs better the more you were doing TM?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, because now I can drop in really quickly. It's like immediate as soon as I start the DI. And TM helps with that. It helps with the, like, the letting go. TM's great because you're not really controlling. You're not doing anything. It's the doing nothing that is the meditation. You access this fourth state of consciousness is what they say. And you get a deeper rest than sleep sometimes in the meditation. And so it does allow me to drop in very fast with the DIs. There's a lot of less thinking from the TM. So it's clearer for me to have like a meaningful, deep imagining.
Yeah, I think for people who have difficulty dropping in, or they have a million thoughts running around in their mind, looking into TM could be a cool other thing to add in there, just because it strengthens the neural pathway of allowing you to be super present. And if you can be super present, then you can be present to like explore in a DI. But if you're having difficulty in like full presence because you have so many thoughts and so many things are so active, doing a breathwork technique or a transcendental meditation or something that just is like, okay, let's clear the vessel, clear the state of mind. Can we be present with this meditation? And then you can go so much deeper.
Absolutely. And pings come through clear too. When you can clear the mind, you'll hear them louder.
Okay, so you're making art, you're in the Topanga place. We'll get to the partner in a little, because I did hear that he was with you in the Topanga place, which is so fantastic.
Yes.
So how did that lead to your first show, and where were you at with your trust muscle of, can I make this a full-fledged career versus being a side job or a job that I'm trying to launch?
Yeah, so the expanding was so important with this. And also at the beginning with my severance package, I paid off my car and a lot of things, my credit card, so that was low bills. So the less bills I had, the less stress I had about paying them. So by the end of the year, when I was doing this exploration, or a little over a year, year and a half, I was like, I have so many paintings. I have enough for a show. but I wasn't really thinking about it. Like, I wasn't putting any energy towards it, really. I was just kind of happy to be a part of a group show here and there. And my boyfriend had sent me a DM to this new studio or gallery that had popped up in Topanga. And he sent me her account. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I like reached out to her just with the intention of helping out. Cause I was like, this is so good for our community. It's like a young person's gallery space and she's going to have different events and things. And so I just talked to her and I asked her how I could help out. And we did start an art club and stuff, but we also talked about she asked if I wanted to have a first solo show. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. And she's like, I have some spots open up in January. And I was like, okay, January might be a little soon. I was like very intimidated, and it ended up being in February, which is Black History Month. So it was like ended up perfect because a lot of my portraitures are of Black people. And so she only gives artists a week, but she was like open to having my work up the entire month, which is so awesome. And so it happened so fast. We just started putting everything together and it was really DIY and had support from my partner. And I didn't have any idea what was going to happen. And I was also down to my last $500 in my savings account. I had saved a bunch of money over that year. And I had been applying for jobs too, because that first year you have to keep trying to get a job if you're on unemployment. And so I was applying for jobs, and it took me to the last minute to really fully commit to like, this is what I'm doing. And so I had saved some money right after my unemployment ran out. I was like, I'm not going to get a job. I'm having a hard time finding a job anyway. So I'm just not going to get one because I want to be a full-time artist. And so I gave it all I had, and whatever happens tonight, it's going to be all good. I just kind of like let go. And when I'm in that surrender state is when manifestations show up. And then the opening night, we had like such an amazing night and awesome people showed up, and I sold half my show. And it was the ultimate confirmation from the universe. Yes, you're on the right path. Keep going, you know?
Oh, so exciting.
It was. I was like in shock for a couple of days. I was like, did that really just happen? Because I had two celebrity buyers too. So I was like, did that really just happen? I don't know.
Did that person really just buy my painting for their home? Like,
exactly.
<wow. laughs>
Exactly. Yeah, it was really exciting.
Okay, so now we have to go back to the surrender piece, because I know everyone's like, what? How did you get there? How did you feel that? I can just hear everyone at home be like, that's the piece that I need. So you're down to your last $500. You're applying for jobs. One thing that I remember you mentioning when we were talking on the phone was like, you had such a strong trust muscle of, okay, I've tried to make this art career work for so long. I've put in so much effort in it. And I know, worst case scenario, I can go and get a job. I've already done that though. So might as well put 100% of my efforts behind this.
Exactly. Yeah. That was my kind of, if you will, like backup. I was like, I can just get a job. It's not that big of a deal. If I fall flat on my face, if I don't sell anything, I can just get a job, any job really, just to hold me over. So I was like, you know, I have skills. I can get a job. It's not like I'm going to lose everything and the whole world's going to come crumbling down. I've already invested this much time, this much money. I think I had invested, you know, a lot of money on supplies in the art studio. And I was just like, if I don't give it my all now, it's not going to happen. So it was kind of that all or nothing moment.
How did you calm your nervous system during that time? Did you have ebbs and flow where you were like, okay, cool, I feel it, and then like quick moments of panic in between? Or were you really confident through that whole process?
Oh my God, yeah, I definitely ebbed and flowed. But I do have a book that I wanted to recommend, Creating Money, Attracting Abundance. And that really helped me to shift that the universe is really your bank, not the bank is your bank, you know? So the universe can make things happen and bring money to you, and things you hadn't even thought of yet. And it's proven to be true. And so really working on my lack mentality, but I was triggered. I'd get a parking ticket and be really triggered and be like, oh God. And I would just go back to the DI. Prosperity DI is great. Emotional clearing, just to clear my body of that kind of anxiety energy. Yeah, the work really helped me with that. And I still get financially triggered. It's not like it's over. I'm just going to a different level. So it's a new level of triggers and tests. And my boyfriend was also starting his creative career too. So we're both in that, going through it together, which is like incredibly intense, because it's like one can trigger the other when they're in lack. But mostly we try to like help each other recognize the lack in the other and just say, oh, that's lack coming up, and reframe it.
Okay. So now the dreamy partner, how did you manifest him and how did that come to be?
Yeah. So I set the intention that I really wanted to meet somebody through a friend, especially after all my, you know, kind of narcissistic relationships. I was like, I need somebody who can vouch for this person's character. Like, and I'm tired of these apps. Like, I don't want to do apps anymore. And it's not that there's anything wrong with meeting on it. Like, I know great couples that I've met on an app and I did it for a while, but for me, I really wanted a reference for the person's character. And that's what made me feel safe. And so I was like, I'm going to meet somebody through a friend. And I don't know, I just felt really sure about it. So I let go and deleted all my apps and started meeting people in person, like the old days. So after that happened, I did a lot of healing. I didn't really date for like 4 or 5 months. I just really focused on myself and my healing. But I also did the partnership workshop because I did want to call in a partner. And then I met someone that was kind of like a rebound fun relationship, but I knew this wasn't my long-term partner, even though it was great at the time. And so after a few months, I was like, I gotta cut this off because this is definitely not like, what's the point of keeping this going? So I did end that. And then right after I ended that, my ex-boyfriend reached out to me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the very last
one.
All
the tests.
The good thing about Scorpios is like, you get really, like when you decide that you're done with somebody, you're kind of like, no, it was hard, but I was like, no, I'm not interested anymore. And so I didn't answer. And then during that time, the few months, I was like, I'm going to try to date multiple people because I haven't dated multiple people ever. And I just want to try it out. And even if it's just hanging out, you know, like going on dates, just like getting to know different people.
Yeah.
And then I went to a friend's wedding here in Topanga with another friend and met my partner there. And it was fun. Nothing significant. And then a couple weeks later, it was Topanga days. And saw him there again. And we hung out like all night, went to parties, and it was so fun. And I had remembered meeting him in 2017. And this was 2019. But I remembered meeting him at a party a few years ago through that same friend. So he was like already orbiting my space. Like, wow. It was somebody I had already met. Yeah. But we both during that time had failed a test. And like, he went back to his ex-girlfriend. And me and that guy at the time, like, had broken up and got back together. So we both kind of failed the test in between the 2017 and 2019. And then we like had so much fun at Topanga Days. And I was living in Culver City. He was working in Culver City. And he's like, hey, let's meet up after I get off work. I was like, sure. And I was thinking, I was totally friend zoning him because I was like, he's my friend's friend. You know, he's fun to hang out with or whatever. And I did not try at all. I just showed up looking kind of, you know, not special. And so then we like chatted and we sat down at like 6. And the next time I looked at my phone, it was like 10:30 and we were closing the place out. And it was like we were in the time vortex, you know, with our conversation. And I was like, okay, I guess that was a date. I don't know. You know? And so then we just started hanging out from there and really built a friendship. And he's an amazing person. He is super kind and funny and yeah, he's really great, supportive, and yeah.
And how did you know, like, at what point in the courting and dating phase were you like, oh my gosh, this is my full list?
Well, let's see. He wasn't my full list because there was a couple superficial things on my list that I think were ultimately not important, but I thought were important on there. So looked back at my list to reevaluate, and he was so many of the important core things. Well, that's, you know, what really, really matters. Like I think I had like a really tall guy on there or something. And he's a little taller than me, but not like super tall. He's going to kill me for saying that, but so no, he doesn't care. It's just like, they were more kind of superficial things on my list. And so as long as the core was there, I was like, yeah, this is good. And I think he wanted to commit a little sooner than me. And usually it's the other way around. I was like, oh, wait, I was going to date a couple other people, you know? So we took our time after that. And then one night we had this like magical night and I was like, actually, I want to give this a try. And we both went in it just like, let's give this a try and see how it works. And so far it's been great. We've made it through a pandemic. So.
Oh, yes. That's the testament.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that you shared. I had some superficial things and it was still my person because I think so many times we're like, oh no, that's important to me because especially height. I feel like people put height on there so often. And it's like, if you really break it down, are you putting height on there for your insecurities or because of an authentic version of self. And I feel like so many times height is to like assuage our own sort of level of confidence in our height or what we want to look like or how we want to be perceived. And if we can kind of unblock that, it's going to open the door to so many other types of people that might be even more aligned.
I think so too. And he's like so funny. And that was so important to me. I just want to laugh. I've had a lot of serious shit go down in my life and I just want to laugh like on a daily basis, you know? I want to be silly and playful. And so he was that. And I was like, that is so much more important than someone being over 6 foot tall, you know?
100%.
Yeah. So it was just like me getting real with myself. What is important here?
So everyone calling in partners right now, go back to your list and see, are there any superficial things on there that maybe aren't really authentic to you, but you have them in there as protection mechanisms and start unblocking them because it might open up your potential partner options.
Exactly. Being kind is important, you know, like those things. He's spiritually evolved. He's so emotionally mature. And he has a 16-year-old son, which when I went back on my list, I was like, crap, I forgot to put up somebody who didn't have kids. But his kid is awesome. He's so cool. His name's River. And he's like, he's so mature and intelligent, just great to be around. And I got to see how he is as a father. And he's an exceptional father. And I want to have a kid one day. So it's like, I know he's going to show up like this, you know? And so that's important too.
That's so interesting you brought that up because one of my friends matched with someone on a dating app and they have a kid already. And she was like, oh no, that's not going to work for me. And I was like, but why? Like, get to the root. If this person matched every other thing that you wanted, how would that not work? Or what would the root be? And so I'm so curious if you initially were like, oh no, I don't want to be with someone that has a kid. Expand others who may be a little hesitant to get to know someone that may have a kid if they didn't initially think it was aligned for them.
I would be sad if I didn't give him a chance because he had a kid. I think at the same time, I didn't want to be like a step-parent, you know? Mm-hmm. So each situation's different. And like what's their relationship with their children's other parent? I think it's important to look at, and he had a good relationship with that other parent. So I looked at those things and then made the choice. So it might not have been right with everyone who had a kid, but in this situation, it did work. But what if I had just closed him off because he had a kid, you know, right. Like I would have missed out on this. So I think just being more open-minded, and he's a little bit older too. So it wasn't like he needed a parent necessarily. So maybe somebody with a little bit older kid would work, but it's also not easy, you know, like when we moved in together, I was being triggered a lot by actually his good parenting, which sounds weird, but like, because I didn't receive certain things when I was little, like it was intensely triggering to see like good parenting. And I was like, what's going on? And I knew it wasn't their problem. So I was so, so thankful for that. I was like, it has nothing to do with them. This is all me. And I'm like, why am I being triggered? And it was a chance to go deeper and figure out, oh, because I didn't receive that type of love. And so I can go back in there and give that to her. And so it's an opportunity. And if River wasn't in the picture, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I think you have to get really real with yourself. If it's really something that you cannot deal with because you don't want to be a parent, then that's one thing. But I do want to be a parent one day. So I was a little bit more open to it. And it's a chance to like get into that energy of being a role model, a parent. And yeah, I think it's a case by case thing. But as somebody who was not looking for somebody who had a kid, it is possible to have a great relationship with both the kid and your partner. And you get your own little family. So it's great.
It's so beautiful how the universe really just mirrors back to you exactly what you're needing, you know? Like, you have done so much inner child work. You had done so much reparenting. You had looked at other families online or parents that you wished they parented like that or whatever. But now it's like, okay, we're going to give you a firsthand look so you can really feel what it would feel like to have that.
Exactly. Yeah. And he is a very loving person, my partner. And so this was also the first time I was in a partnership where I felt like real love. It wasn't anything else. And to hold space for my crazy Scorpio Leo emotions, you know, somebody who can hold steady. And so, yeah, it wasn't what I thought it would look like, but it's definitely what I needed.
So beautiful. Okay. And on a closing note, what is one tip that you would share with your younger self who was navigating attracting partners based on family dynamics and, you know, in a corporate job and really wanting to be an artist full time? What tips would you tell that version?
Find joy and follow that. Find what makes you happy and do that. Face the hard stuff. Let go sooner in a lot of different situations. Let go of partners that aren't working sooner. Let go of jobs that aren't working sooner. And be in a state of trust more. And I think that's hard when you come from a certain childhood, but just cultivating that and self-care. It's okay to be happy, because I was so sad for a long time and got into that state of mind where I was just like hardwired to just like be in this melancholy, depressed state. And it's just like, just be happy, like life's short, and find your joy.
I love that. Oh, thank you so much, Leslie. This was so powerful and so expansive. I know everyone is going to fall in love with your story, and I can bet you're probably going to get a lot of people outreaching to you on this one.
We also are going to have like a TBM meetup here in Topanga at the art gallery that I'm a part of. And so anybody's welcome to join.
Yay! Oh my gosh, so fun. Yes, check out Leslie. We'll have her Instagram linked and our Instagram when the episode goes live. So be sure to check her out. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Jessica.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the episode. One tip I wanted to give you guys who are working through the unblocking challenge is during the Deep Imagining Unblocked, which launches on Monday in the Daily Practice Portal, there is a section of that DI that has you sort of think about how you would navigate the triggers and tests coming up if you really believed your empowered belief. How would you navigate these situations and what would happen? And one bonus thing I like to do, especially because we're doing this same deep imagining 3 or 4 times during the week, we can kind of hit it from different angles by going in there during different days. And what I like to do is when that part comes up, I think about what in my life would I be doing differently if I believed this empowering statement? So not only how would I face those tests and triggers, but what wouldn't be in my life? What would I not be settling for? And how would I be navigating differently if I truly believed the empowering statement versus the core wound statement? If this sounds like, what are you talking about? Check out our unblocking challenge. You'll find all the info in there. But just wanted to give you some food for thought of how you can sort of make the challenge, make the deep imaginings, make the journaling your own once you're in there. That one's been really powerful and really helpful for me. I hope you guys have a beautiful weekend, and we will see you next week.